Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants of this show are not the views. Opinions expressed by the participants of this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Justin's here.
Hey, everyone.
How's it going, man?
Spotlight.
Yeah, it's Spotlight.
Spotlight has been destroying my life, as it does.
New season starts next week, so of course we're all getting ready for that.
Yep. We got a number of shows coming in. We're just waiting for approval on most of them, and so I've been like just cranking them out. Not a whole lot of them catching my fancy. I really only have my eye on one show this season.
What's up?
Samurai Flamenco.
Yeah, that's the one that caught my eye, too. I mean, we're a little predictable, though.
Well, yeah. Well, no, it's also Takahiro Amori, you know, the Bakano Durarara guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, he's usually pretty dependable, and it's him doing superheroes.
Yeah, I really like the look of it. It reminds me a little of, it was a bad show, but it was a fun game, Beautiful Joe from, like, 10 years ago.
That was a really bad show.
It's a really bad show. It was a fun game, though. And it had a neat sense of design to it. But it reminds me a little bit of that. But, yeah, you know, you're right. I looked at the chart and was like, maybe there will be some fun surprises.
I hope so.
What's that? One of the ones that's a little anticipated, it's like Copelon?
Copelon?
Something. Cope something.
Copelon. Yeah, we have a spotlight for it.
Yeah, that was done a long time ago, right? They had to shelve it because of the nuclear disaster.
Yeah, and like even now, like they're still really leery about it.
I would
like,
be too, because that's still a problem. It's not funny. It's a horrible, horrible disaster.
They're for the synopsis, they basically had us delete everything relating to nuclear radiation and everything.
I wonder if they just, like, because the story is basically there was a nuclear holocaust, and now it's a post-apocalyptic thing, right?
Right, more or less.
So maybe they just, like, there was a holocaust.
Stuff happened.
Yeah, it was, something blew up. Not really going to get into it.
Who knows what they did? I'm really curious to see what the result is. But, you know, it could be good, could be bad. I have no clue, honestly, at this point.
The charts seem pretty dominated by five girls in supernatural situation stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't. I lost track of the number of times I had to copy-paste a character guide that mentioned boob size.
Really?
Oh, yeah. At least four of the shows. Probably closer to six.
Great.
Yeah.
Didn't the only one?
I mean, why are we even shocked at this point?
Yeah, of course, we're not surprised by it, but every time you see it, you're kind of like,
part of your soul dies a little.
I mean, previously it's like High School DxD was the one that did that, and now it's like six shows out of 30 are doing that.
Well, out of the 12 that we're getting.
So half of the ones that you have. Yeah, that's great.
I might be lowballing it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that starts in earnest next week, so people can look forward to the both Spotlight, which, do you know when that's going to start?
We will post as, like, they're kind of done. We'll post as soon as we get an approval. Anytime now.
Yeah, so people keep an eye out for that, and then Spring Preview, I believe, will start on the 2nd, 1st of the 2nd of October. So that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Look forward to that. Anyway, what you been up to, man?
Well, actually, this week, I think it was Tuesday, I was invited to this showcase night by COCA, the Korean Creative Contents Agency, which is a government-run, you know, hey, we need to promote our contents. And, you know, every year they try to, you know, entice some people into caring about Korean anime. And, you know, I've been I've been like dipping a toe into those waters since, you know, the early part of the 2000s, and they never really have anything that good. It's interesting to try to kind of get a barometer on things because, A, you know, both the U.S. and Korea outsources so much to, right, yeah, U.S. and Japan outsources so much to Korea.
Right.
And B, it's interesting to see, like, because, you know, that whole industry is more or less entirely dependent on trying to work with overseas companies. Because out of all the Korean stuff that, you know, Korea tends to be very, you know, support our own people sort of thing. But nobody in Korea cares about Korean animation.
Yeah, that seemed to be the case. It seemed like they had some big ambitious projects, and then when those failed, they were just kind of like, well, never mind.
Right. And a lot of those, you know, a lot of those ended up here, you know, in dubbed form from, you know, the anime publishers and, you know, sold a few hundred copies at most.
The smash hit best of syndrome.
Oh, yeah. That was actually one of the better ones.
Oh, God, no. I've seen a lot of those. That was not one of the better ones.
Did you see Armageddon, the one that manga video put out on VHS?
Okay, you're right. Nope, that one is.
That had characters straying off model in the same shot.
Yeah, it did.
But anyway, like, was interesting as I was talking to one of the presidents of Character Plan, which is one of the bigger animation studios out there, and he was telling me that, you know, a lot of their work for hire has gone down, so they're really struggling over there, and so there's actually an even bigger push on original projects. But they've kind of given up chasing the anime thing.
Well, where's that work going if it's not going to Korea?
A lot of the Japanese companies have started studios in Indonesia and
that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, other cheaper, more decidedly third world countries. There's a lot of stuff being done in mainland China now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's more or less a thing where as long as the designs and the plans are being done in Japan, they can outsource the actual grunt work to almost anyone and have it turn out usually okay. So, yeah, the only thing that they had that I think our listeners would be interested in was this show called Skyrunners, which is a heavily Miyazaki influenced, like outright, you know, unofficial sequel to Nausicaä, more or less.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
It doesn't look great. It's all 3D and it's a co-pro with an Australian network. It didn't look terrible. It looks more, you know, it looks like it might appeal to like fans of, say, Avatar or Legend of Korra, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Jury's still out. They said it'll be at least 2015 till it airs, so we won't know for a while if it's any good.
All 3D, you say?
Yeah.
It's never a good sign.
No.
Well, okay, so that sounds kind of interesting. I mean, just in terms of knowing where Korea is at, because, you know, I'm always curious about it because it is so related, like, and we've always struggled with, well, do we cover this stuff? Do we talk about this stuff? Do we not? You know, but it's always interesting to just see where their animation industry is at.
There's always, you know, a couple things here and there that both animation and manga where Korea makes an occasional really, really, really good piece of something, and it's every time that happens, and it doesn't happen that often, we just go, oh man, we need to cover that. But now most of it is kind of crappy.
Yep. Can't disagree with you there.
It's unfortunate.
So what else?
That's just been working my butt off. And, I've got that, Satoshi Kon manga that came out.
Tell me about that. I don't have that yet.
It breaks my heart to say this, but it kind of sucks.
That's what I've been hearing. It's very early work by him, isn't it?
It's really early. Artistry-wise, I mean, it's very consistent, but not all that appealing looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's good from a draftsmanship standpoint, but, like, the character designs are like, eh, okay, that's a guy.
Okay.
But the writing is really, it's very, very hacky, you know. ecology, you know, the evil developer wants to build despite this, you know, family's long, long standing relationship with the mermaids who live in this cove that they want to develop.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah, and the main character is, like, you know, the teenage son who's about to go off to college, and he has a, you know, he's the one that's kind of tasked with, you know, fulfilling the prophecy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he is a complete non-entity. Like, he is so poorly written that, like, he has zero personality whatsoever.
Well, that's a disappointment.
It really is. And, you know, I don't know what we were expecting, because it's, like, his earliest Polish story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, geniuses are not born geniuses.
Yeah, but it's nice to have it. Like,
it is nice to have it.
Curiosity satisfied.
I was so excited for it, I accidentally ordered 2 copies.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of those things where you pre-order it, and then you come back, and there's, like, a week until it ships, and you're like, I forget, did I order this? And you just order it again.
Well, I'll have to see it for myself at some point. It's still one of those things where it's like, well, you know, what did this guy produce that we still haven't gotten to see? And, you know, I will look at anything that guy ever made. So,
well, it's like, there's still World Apartment Horror, which I have not seen, and I've been sitting on a subtitled copy of that's the manga that Katsuhiro Otomo ended up directing as a live action movie.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure Jason Thompson wrote it up at some point.
Probably.
I think he did. Yeah, so he contributed to that?
Apparently he wrote the manga.
Huh.
So I have to... I don't know, I'll probably just watch the movie at some point.
Is that available anywhere?
No.
Okay, so... surreptitious means. interesting. Well, it's a disappointment to hear that it's not all that great, but it's... again, like, it's nice that we have it, and that, you know... It
is, and kudos to Vertical for bringing it out. Happy they did. I don't know too many publishers that would do this, but you know, the fact of the matter is, if this wasn't a, if this wasn't by Satoshi Kon, or we didn't know who it was by, if we just had the name left off of it, this would be one of those weird one-off manga that we were getting at the peak of the boom that it would come out and everyone would just go like, why did you release this?
Huh? Yeah, shrug.
Someone wants this?
Yeah. yeah, well, I mean, I know it sold pretty well for him, so...
Good. Well, yeah, good. Hey, happy they have a hit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure that was every single manga blogger and, you know, nerds like us that worship Satoshi Kon rushing to get that in the first week. But, yeah, no, it's nice that it did okay. I think it cracked... they said it was about to, or did crack, the top 10 on Amazon for manga, so...
Nice.
Not bad. You know, up there with the Narutos and the Attack on Titans and whatnot.
Cool. So what have you been up to?
Not a lot. You know, getting ready for the fall season here, working on a lot of interviews. We've had a lot of interviews go up on the site in the last couple of weeks. And there's more coming. I'm still plugging away on these. Interviews take a long time to put together.
They're so formatting intensive.
They're formatting intensive, and approvals are a big thing now, so I gotta send text to Japan and then wait, you know, however long it takes them to get back to me. I'm waiting on approval on a really, really, really good interview. I'm very excited to publish it with the president of Bones. I'm really happy with how that turned out. Please look forward to seeing it. As soon as I get approval on it, it will go up on the site. But other than that, the only thing I've been keeping up with, I'm still watching. Even though I said I wasn't going to, I've still been watching Watamote, which I actually like that show more than I thought I would. They're doing some interesting things with the character. She's trying to change and failing, and the attempt
that's compelling.
The attempt at change is what's interesting about it. And the writing has remained consistently good. You're not just watching this person and her horrible neuroses. I mean, you are, but there's some attempt at character development. And that's all that show is just that character. So it's interesting to watch. I haven't finished it yet. I think the final episode came out, yesterday or the day before. So I'll have to track that down. But, I've been keeping up with Attack on Titan through the comics. No, I haven't really been... I catch the show in bits and pieces when Hope's watching it, but that's about it.
The show didn't grab me right away, and I just haven't had a chance to come back to it, and it's not high on my list.
It's, you know, there was an episode like 2 weeks ago that everybody lost their shit about, and it was one of those where, yeah, you can see why people are totally losing their shit about it. It's really well constructed. There's that show is all build up and then payoff, and it's build up, payoff, build up, payoff, build up, payoff. And the build up can be really slow, but the payoff is usually really good, or at least it's really exciting, or you know, sad and brutal and shit. it's really not a shock to me at all that that's such a big hit. But, so I was going to watch something specifically to talk about on the show this week and just kind of grab something off the pile of screeners. And the thing I grabbed was Future Diary. I don't know if you ever watched a single episode of this, but it was pretty popular when it came out. This is a show about a kid, sort of milquetoast loser-y guy, that his cell phone suddenly has a diary that tells him everything that's going to happen in the next day. Or at least this happens. Okay. Tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 how light novel-y this plot sounds.
Okay. So,
losery guy who's obsessed with his phone has a god living in his head named Deus Ex Machina, and he visits the god.
Really?
Yep. No, not kidding. And he visits the god in his head who's like, oh, well, you're bored. You know, here's a diversion. Here's a game. You're gonna play a game, and it's gonna be you're gonna be able to see the future. And then so suddenly people start getting murdered, and then it turns out he's part of a survival game. And there's 12 other people who also have diaries that tell them things about the future on their phones. And one of them is a girl who has a diary that's just about him, and she's in love with him. And and it gets more light novel-y from there. The first episode literally has a Q&A session in it, where the characters are asking questions about the plot that are then directly answered. It is some of the laziest world building I've ever seen.
I'm starting to think that light novel in Japan just basically means shitty writing.
I don't want to say that because every now and then there's one that's
every now
good,
and then there's something good, but for the most part, it's just like, yeah. Here's where all the people who don't really know how to write prose go.
Yeah, it's just, and the problem is always in the character writing and the exposition, and it's all world building, and they don't seem to care about story momentum at all. It's just this weird, really nerdy way of writing that turns me off. I find nothing to love about it, for the most part. But anyway, here's the thing, this show was compellingly stupid. The main character is an idiot, like, not intentionally. Like, the show doesn't present him as an idiot, but somebody will explain something to him, and then two scenes later, he's asking, oh, I wonder what's going on, even though it was just fucking explained to him. He's constantly making stupid choices, like, and I'm not, like, doing the thing where, like, oh, if only he were the smartest guy in the world. It's, like, just doing dumb shit, and that moves the story forward. And so I kept watching it. I got through about 5 or 6 of them. And then so the opening sequence of this thing opens with girl with bloody tears and evil puppets and twins and people getting their limbs hacked off and stuff. So
it's edgy.
Yeah, it's so edgy it blew my mind. And so I was laughing at it, but then, of course, so like episode 2 or 3, a terrorist shows up who's wearing gothic Lolita gear for some reason. She starts blowing up the school trying to kill this guy, because the point is, all the people with these diaries have to try and kill each other, so you're the last man standing. When you're the last man standing, you become the god who runs the game.
So basically, someone tried to combine Death Note with Eden of the East.
Yeah, Death Note, Eden of the East, throw a little Battle Royale in there. So she shows up and blows up half of the school, which, you know, once again, terror in a school. Like,
never seen that before.
Yeah, right. And at that point, I was like, okay, this is trying really hard to be edgy. So then, episode like 5 or 6, we're sitting there watching this last night. Episode 5, I think, or 6 rolls around, and then they start introducing rape as a way of being too edgy for you. And it's twice in one episode, 2 different characters.
Wow.
And the rape scenes are lovingly animated so that, you know, when an explosion goes off in the school, the bodies of the students just evaporate. You don't actually see, like, big piles of dead children or anything. It's just, you know, that cheap anime, like, there's fire and then you see a silhouette of someone sort of disappear. The death and stuff, and even, like, in the murders, because there's people getting murdered in the show all the time, you get the eye pop and then blood on a wall. The rape scenes are, like, just carefully animated, bouncing tits, nipples, like, light shining just so you see the bouncing tits, like, clothes, girl getting held down and her clothes ripped off, and they focus in on her panties, and it's fucking gross. Great. And so once that happened, I said, fuck this, nope, and turned it off. I was talking about this I think it was our last Super Manga Pals episode, where we got into the notion of, when do we stop with this arms race to see who can be the least offended by everything that shows up in anime?
That's just kind of a... It's kind of a juvenile macho thing.
It is. It totally is. And it's tiresome. And I put it on Twitter. I said, nah, I'm done with this. And got a bunch of replies saying, oh, I'm not bothered by rape. It doesn't bother me. You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, well, aren't you a badass? Like, aren't you just an emotionless badass? Like, when you lose your ability to be impacted by anything like that, and it's graphic rape in this show. And not that I cared about what happened to these characters, but doesn't basic human empathy mean that you don't really want that in your entertainment, no matter how edgy it's trying to be?
Right.
You know, if the show earned it, if the show were actually, really living on that edge that it's trying to do and doing it effectively, then it would just be terrifying and effective. And it would be responsible about it and use that only to show the terror of the act and the impact that that has on people. But this is clearly in there for titillation, and the show's tone is whiplashy. So this episode came after an episode where they spent a half an hour with this dude and his crazy girlfriend in a theme park buying ice cream and going on roller coasters and shit.
Wow, this sounds utterly charming.
Yeah, it's a terrible fucking show. But that's when I turned it off, and it made me think, like, you know, I don't understand. I guess, like, it's hard for me to understand the mindset of someone who sees something like that in a show and then says, eh, whatever, shrug. I guess I understand that, and one of the things I said about this was basically, you know, your standards for being offended apply only to you. They do not apply to anyone else. You can't sit there and say what's right and what's wrong to be offended about. Because everyone's different, and everyone has different bars. And I draw the line at someone who seems to be really proud of the fact that they are not bothered by rape in anything. Like you said, it's sort of this childish machismo thing. That bothers me. That mindset is like... I think you're losing a little bit of your humanity, and it makes you sound like kind of a sociopath, I think, when you crow about how unoffended you are.
Well, you know, in my experience, the people that crow about that sort of thing are usually the ones who are just kind of trying to prove that they're tough.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really put a whole lot of stock into it.
Of course not, but I mean, I'm just having a discussion.
Well, it bothers you. If it bothers you, clearly it
It's more of a philosophical discussion. I'm not saying, like, I was deeply troubled by this, because, of course, I work in anime. I see it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All the time. But
we are around rape so much.
Okay, but I'm not going to keep watching that piece of shit show.
No.
And I don't want it in my... I still don't want it in my entertainment, and I refuse to get so desensitized to it that I accept it as a normal thing that happens in anime that's trying to be edgy. I'm not just going to eventually say, like, eh, whatever, shrug, doesn't bother me. No, I don't want that in my entertainment. I'm watching to be entertained. Don't show me rape. Unless it's for a very specific, very serious purpose that is thematically tied into what the show's trying to say. Like, it's not just something you just throw in there for cheap shock. Like, it's... I don't know. Like, I feel it
should have gravity to it. That said, I mean, anime is not known for treating rape with gravity. I mean, holy shit. I saw so much graphic rape when I was working in hentai that I'll admit I'm still kind of numb to it as a concept. I don't think I would be numb to it if, like, it happened to someone I knew. But as a concept, it's just like, okay, there's a rape scene.
Let me put it to you this way. More so than I am saying that somehow it's bad or wrong for someone to continue watching a show like that, I'm defending my decision to turn it off and rejecting the notion that somehow that makes me weak or somehow means that I just haven't been around the block enough. And if I had been, the superior position on this is to be so desensitized to it that it doesn't bother you at all. I reject the notion that that's a superior viewpoint. Because that's how it's presented to me, is that the superior way to look at this is to be so desensitized to it as to ignore it or shrug. I reject that that's somehow better.
Sure, well, of course. Worse. I mean, that's obvious. The thing is, there's always people who's like, there's a whole kind of machismo thing. It's like what I used to do watching Takeshi Miike movies. You know, I would sit in the back of the theater and just laugh as people would, like, literally run out of the theater covering their eyes.
Well, aren't you like, a smug bastard?
guy's getting shot after eating, like, 20 bowls of ramen and just a whole bunch of noodles explode out of his belly. And like, and all these people are just, like, literally running out of the theater. Well, and, you know, I got some pleasure out of that. I'll admit. I just like, you people are weak.
Okay, but first of all, that stuff is played for laughs. Like, the Miike stuff is largely played for laughs. At least that's the way how it came across to me. If you were sitting in the back of the theater during, let's say, Irreversible, and giggling at the people running out of the theater during the rape scene, you have a problem. That's weird.
Absolutely.
That's the difference here. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I think that's a good line in the sand.
That's, I got to draw the line personally somewhere. And yeah, it's a little disappointing to just still see that whole, like, well, I'm a badass. I'm not bothered by that. It's like, okay, then you can watch. First of all, I don't understand how they fucking got 26 episodes out of that premise. Like, no idea.
Clearly they were struggling.
Yeah, but that's how long it goes on. Anyway, bad show that quickly goes from being entertainingly stupid to gross and legitimately awful. So I would say do not watch Future Diary. Not a fan of the dub either. A lot of 30-year-old guys doing teenager voice, and the dialogue has mostly been... It's not like a totally unfaith. It's not like a Foster dub, but they made the dialogue a little... teeny boppery through the lens of someone who maybe hasn't been around teenagers in a while.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's not a...
Do they use words like daddy-o and radical?
No, I was certainly making those jokes, but yeah, it's like someone will be like, yo, dude, like, what's going on? And you're like, okay.
Wow.
Anyway, not a fan. And it's also one of those, it's a Kadokawa show put out by Funimation. So, no Blu-ray. DVD only. Alright. So that about does it for me. We got a bunch of Twitter questions here, so we should get to these. Okay. Chihaya Furuhime asks a question for Justin. I know you've been doing more Blu-ray and DVD authoring at your media OCD job.
Yep.
Noticed that on your website, it only partially lists what you've worked on.
I haven't updated it in a while.
Okay, which basically wants to know, would you mind listing what you've worked on? That's a lot of stuff, so I don't...
Holy crap. Let's see. Pretty much any Blu-ray from NIS you can safely assume came from me.
Right, your name is correct.
Nobody wrote... not to say that I have an exclusive, but I don't think they're using anyone else, and haven't to my knowledge. Let's see. I just did Excel World for Viz through my friends at BangZoom. I did Little Nemo for Discotech, and I do occasionally some compression for them, like I did Venus Wars. I did Locus Superman, and I'm working on couple other forthcoming Blu-rays for them. What else? A couple live action Korean films from CJ Entertainment, also through BangZoom. Yeah, I do a lot. I did the formatting, but not the DVD or Blu-ray for the Berserk movies and Zetman for Viz through NYAV Post. Obviously, and I'm occasionally doing some indie films.
And obviously a bunch of shit that's under NDA, so.
Oh, yeah, and a bunch of Hulu prep work for TMS, like a lot of stuff that. is up on Hulu from TMS came from me also.
As a sort of a two-parter, also wants to know projects you enjoyed the most working on in regard to the end result as opposed to just your favorite shows.
Oh, yeah, I just did my first Blu-ray for Anime Limited for the UK market. That was Perfect Blue. That was a fun one. Stuff I enjoyed the most. Honestly, I try to take as much care with everything as I can. So hopefully the quality ends up being around the same. I've been working with NIS for a really long time, and we have a really kind of a really good pattern going. Like we work with each other really effectively. But you know, I don't really have any specific favorites. I have my favorite shows, but you know, hopefully every disc ends up the best I can make it.
Okay. Ben the Bear asks, when did you decide to have a less formal tone to the news articles on the site? So, I asked him to clarify this because the tone of our news has not changed.
Right.
But interest articles have. They have more personality now. Specifically, they have Bamboo's personality. It's been mentioned, but not, you know, we certainly haven't talked about it on the podcast, but Bamboo came on full time with us recently, specifically to do the interest feed because we want more stuff like that, and people like Bamboo's writing style, and we wanted to give him a little bit more personality because our news editor, Egan, you know, the website is famous for its news for a reason, and that's because Egan does it the way he does it. But interest feed articles sort of do need a shot in the arm of some voice. It needs some voice. They need to be more fun. And so we brought Bamboo on to do that. Tone's a little different. People got used to it pretty quick. I think it's just because it's so similar to how most other people do that kind of news. And we were sort of, for whatever reason, holding out on adding a little bit of a voice to it. So that's what's going on with Interest Feed. If you don't like it, I think you'll get used to it. It's not like she's editorializing a whole bunch. It's just got a little bit more personality to it. Weepy Sweet Monty asks, what show feels more polarizing or popular while it aired, Sword Art Online or Attack on Titan? Well, Sword Art Online was certainly more polarizing.
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of hate for Attack on Titan out there.
No, there's backlash to it because it's popular. So you get a lot of people complaining. You know, and the pacing on that show is pretty fucked. So, like, you know, you see complaining about it. There's not a lot of, like, this is the best thing, this is the worst thing, like there is with Sword Art Online, which I would like to go on the record and say is the worst thing. But not really, but man, I didn't like that show. Definitely more polarizing with Sword Art Online, but I think Attack on Titan is dramatically more popular. Like, Sword Art Online was big. This is much bigger. Just cosplay alone. Like, geez. Every convention is crowded with it. Divine Nega asks, do you think Future Diary would have worked on Toonami? No. Next question.
Toonami, generally not huge into the rape.
Yeah, not huge. Yeah, into the... Oh, Future Diary. All right. Yanagi 808, thoughts on Attack on Titan season ending versus continuation, i.e. Space Brothers style? Well, I mean, there's no way they're not doing another season of that show.
Yeah, they just have to gear up again because they don't do one season right after the other anymore.
I would say next spring, maybe. Maybe next summer.
Depends on where they are with the scripts.
Yeah, They've covered up, there's like 11 or 12 volumes of it out now. They're probably going to get up through volume 8 of the manga. So maybe not even next year, maybe 2015. I mean, who knows? I don't think they'll wait that long, but... Mr. Mega Millions asks, to what extent can an anime's ending bolster or hinder the quality of the series as a whole? Interesting question.
Well, obviously the answer is purely subjective.
I mean, I think a bad ending can ruin something, but it's got to be a bad, bad ending.
Right.
Like,
non-endings are frustrating and just kind of make it so you, now that you know that the journey has no conclusion, it's just like, well, why did I bother?
Yeah, if the ending is so bad that it negates the pleasure of the journey, which isn't, I don't think that's very common.
Yes and no. I mean, I've definitely had shows and... for some reason, I can't think of one right now where the lack of conclusion just kind of made me go, well, that was a waste.
Yeah. You get to the end and you're like, sure was a show.
Yeah. And, you know, had they done something with it that would have, that it could have swung the other direction and made it profound. But, you know, if if that profundity was never there, you were basically looking for something that never existed.
You know, I think that applies to American TV shows as well.
Absolutely.
And we'll find out on Sunday. Yeah. Oh, man.
I've never been so simultaneously looking forward to and dreading something.
Yeah, but it's going to be like a sigh of relief when that shit is done.
It really will. It's like, make the suffering end.
Yeah, I mentioned this elsewhere, but that Ozymandias episode of Breaking Bad, I have never had like a physical reaction of discomfort to watching a television show. Like, I was squirming. Like, I wanted to get out of my seat. Like, I was really upset. Like, it was just... God, it bothered me. I mean, it was great TV, but, like...
The closest fuck. I've ever gotten before to having... I mean, it didn't come quite this bad, but I got that pit in my stomach, that pain that you get when you know something really terrible is going to happen. I've only gotten that from one piece of film entertainment before, and it was Larry Clark's Bully.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which, man, that was a brutal film.
Yeah, it's a shame about the rest of his movies, but yeah.
Right, it's a shame that he's basically a pedophile.
Yeah. Guy's gross. Anyway, I still remember I had a friend over, he was really excited. He's like, hey, have you seen this movie, What's Up, Rockers? I'm like, isn't that a Larry Clark film? He's like, well, yeah, man, I really liked it. And he brought it over, he was like really excited to show it to me. And I was like, hey, you notice how the camera's always focusing on these teenagers' abs and they're constantly taking their shirts off? Then he couldn't unsee it, had to turn it off. Oh, Larry Clark. Okay, Gavmatic asks, thoughts on the sudden upward trend of non-standard female leads in anime?
Non-standard?
Non-standard female leads. She lists some characters here. Tomoko, Hajime, Nakamura, Mikasa. The one in there I recognize is Nakamura.
Right.
From Flowers of Evil. And,
I wouldn't call her the lead.
I would say she's the lead, female lead of that show.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Like, if she were being nominated for an Emmy, she would be lead in a drama.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a trend. It'd be nice if that were a trend.
No, usually we're still getting a lot of, like, kind of dumb girls with big boobs.
Yeah, it's nice that there are a few. Like, we're getting, I guess it's true, you know, she's listing four characters here. You know, if that's true, if we are actually getting a few more per season, you're still talking about two in an ocean of horrible female characters. That would be nice. I would like it for that to be a trend, but I don't think it is one right now.
I mean, just because there are weird female characters, there are weird characters in anime and have been since time immemorial. So.
Yeah, yeah. Specifically, I think female characters have always been a bit of a challenge, which is weird because for a while the stereotype was like, oh, anime has strong female characters. And, ooh, no. Not really.
Not anymore.
The girls with guns thing is a fetishy thing. Just because she's holding a weapon doesn't mean the show isn't exploiting her. Okay, Red Train Claire asks, what exactly does a person with the job title creative producer do in anime production?
That sounds like a clunky translation of something I don't know what.
Well, normally if you ask anyone, any producer, what they do, their job is chiefly to deal with the production committee and keep everyone happy.
There are so many different kinds of producer that it's hard to tell who does what.
Well, it's that old joke that, you know,
yeah.
Well, what does a producer do? Everything and nothing. You know?
I mean, anime, it's a lot more regimented, but at the same time, like, that's a translation of something, and so I can't tell which original producer gig that was.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Producer is a really nebulous title.
Yep.
It can mean that you do nothing. It can mean that you are super hands-on. It can mean that, you know, if you're powerful enough or if you're important enough, you can wind up in the edit bay, or it can mean that you're shut completely out of any creative decision and you make sure that the star has his coffee. It's a totally nebulous title.
Yeah.
It's not as nebulous, I think, in Japan, but every time I've ever talked to a producer and said, so what do you do? They go,
it's a rough job title, and you know there are producers that, you know, there are shows that would not exist if it weren't for their producers, and then there are producers who's like, well, I found an investor for you.
Yeah, that, and frankly, like, that's the big thing that whenever almost always come up is dealing with the production committee and getting money, finding money. Mm-hmm. That's generally what they tell me they do, even though they might do five or six other things. But Gavin Maddock also asks, it seems as if anti-feminism within the fandom has reached a fever pitch this year. Would you, as old-timers, say the same? I think anti-feminism on the internet has in general reached a fever pitch. I don't think it's just anime fans. Gamers are kind of the worst with this stuff.
Yeah, and I think the misogyny of the gaming scene does bleed over, because there is a lot of overlap.
There's a lot of overlap, and a lot of it is completely misplaced rage from super entitled nerds in their late teens, early 20s, who think that they have to fight against some... It is bullshit hive mind forum culture that has just kind of exploded and just leaking all over the place, like someone's colostomy bag fell out or something. Like, it's... I hate it. I hate it so much, seeing all that misogyny. Like, this is why I fight with the MRA guys, like, constantly on our forums and in other places, because if I don't push back against it in the community that I'm supposed to be monitoring or policing, who's gonna? And, you know, it's really disheartening sometimes to see that. But it's everywhere. Like, you know, you pay a lot less attention to this stuff than I do, I think.
I'm a happier person for it.
You're a happier person, but, you know, it is part of my job to police the forums. Like,
and I tease.
I'm expected to do that. Well, it takes its toll, man. It grinds your soul down when you have to read these just the worst opinions in the world. And it's a series of talking points at this point. Like, they bring up the same five or six arguments over and over again in every case. And what their goal is to basically say that there is no such thing as misogyny. And that somehow misandry is worse and exists in greater numbers. And it's this total bullshit, just fantasy land, self-serving, bigoted argument that I see constantly. And it's depressing. It depresses me, legitimately. I have spent sessions in therapy talking about how depressed that stuff makes me. Because it's such a toxic, shitty attitude. And I see it all the time. And it is way worse in the last couple years than it was before that. It turned into this stupid movement. That's when it got really bad. Ugh. As you can tell, I'm really bothered by it. Anyway,
yep.
Brax JSS with Anime Weekend Atlanta this weekend, which I guess is kind of a blowout year for that show. Everyone's talking about it. I see a lot of people talking about the guest list. I guess it's pretty impressive.
Cool.
Marking the end of active anime convention season. Oh, my con season ended a while ago.
Yep.
What was your best highlight? Favorite moment, I guess, from con season this year, if you had to pick. I did some fun interviews. Had a good time out in Baltimore, for the most part. Doing that live show that we didn't get the audio from, I think.
Yeah, God, that was such a good time. I can't believe we blew that.
I am the one who blew that. I'll take the credit for that.
Yeah, that was so much fun. Yeah, that, I think it was probably that or the AIX live show, one of the two.
Yeah, doing those live shows is a super highlight.
Okay. Yeah.
I love doing them. I love it. And when everyone who comes out, it's so great to see people and shake some hands and give some shit away. And good times. All right, Chick the TM asks, how long do you think Kadokawa is going to hold off on giving American companies Blu-ray rights?
Well, they've already caved on a few titles now that we have... now that there is country code sensing on Blu-ray.
Okay.
So it's not fast and long. I'm sure there were Future Diary among them, a few titles that they just couldn't get during the original negotiation of the contract, and they just decided it probably wasn't worth going back and negotiating again.
Okay.
But I don't expect that to hold out forever. I don't know. It's I wouldn't worry too much about it. We're getting a handful of Kadokawa shows.
I would imagine that they're still going to be pretty protective of anything they think has a shot at selling X number of units in Japan, and if they hold off on giving those Blu-ray rights to an American distributor, they figure they'll make more money.
Right, and it's not always just, you know, a flat-out no to the U.S. It might be a wait.
Yeah, I would imagine Future Diary is one of those, because it was a hit show. So I would imagine they wanted, you know, a year to make their money on that, and then they're like, okay, well, now you can do it.
Right. Like Penny and Stocking, that was Kadokawa, if I'm not mistaken.
It was indeed.
Yep.
The Omidan asks, any thoughts on Mamoru Oshii's live-action Pat Labor project? I bet it's going to look great.
Terrified. Absolutely terrified. I really hope it's good, but, oh, there's so many ways this can go horribly wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, that sounds, on paper, like a pretty okay idea. But you're right. A million different ways that could just completely shit the bed. Okay. Land of Obscusion, why do you think there's so much confusion over the name Pile of Shame? Is it because people always think the worst? We had a discussion about this, and at one point decided to change the title of that column, and then I changed my mind on that.
Yeah. I, like, a lot of people just hadn't heard the term.
Yeah, get used to it.
You know, it we've been using it for a while now.
Yeah, readership on that is just fine. It's not going down. It's steady and going up. It's just people just got to get used to it. You know, it's one of those things where it's one or two people complaining. And the fact of the matter is, like, you go into a forum and you actually, like, read what people are saying. And, you know, over time, you realize that it's people who do understand what it says, but they're being pedantic. And they want to tell you to change it because they think it should be changed because they didn't get it right away. But now they get it. They're just arguing for change for change's sake. And it's like, no, okay, well, I see that we don't need to change it. People will just get used to it. And they have. Like, in the last three or four installments, there hasn't been a peep about the title of the column. So, it's fine.
Okay. By the way, I'm taking the next one off because I have too much work.
Yeah, you're too busy. And you got Answer Man to do, and that's a little more important, so.
Fuck, I still have to do an Answer Man.
Uh-oh. It's Thursday at 4, Justin.
Guess what I'm doing tonight.
Okay. .004, what films are you looking forward to? I'm excited about Gravity.
Everyone's excited about Gravity.
Yeah, of course. It looks good. And everybody I know who's seen it is raving. So, yeah. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies coming out I'm dying to see.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, you know, we're heading into that season where the good stuff is coming. And I'm looking forward to lots of it.
Yeah, I want to see COD, Child of God, which is the David Sedaris adaptation. I'm a little weirded out that they cast David Sedaris' character as one of the heartthrobs from Glee.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure that works, but the trailer looks decent.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that coming out of film festivals looks pretty exciting. I really want to see this documentary on Alejandro Jodorowsky's Dune movie. Have you heard about
this? No, I haven't.
Yeah, they made a documentary. He had this, like, world's most ambitious version of Dune that was set to, like, light the world on fire and be, like, 4 hours long and be the most ambitious sci-fi movie ever made, like, in the 70s, and it got aborted completely. But he had, like, Mobius working on all the production art for it, and, like, it looks like the most ambitious thing ever, and they made a whole movie just about that and the production of it, and frankly, like, I mean, the thought of him making a Dune movie, just that alone, it's like, wow.
I'll be honest, Jodorowsky never did anything for me.
Really not a fan of, like, El Topo or Holy Mountain?
No, I respect them, but I never really got them.
I think I like it more than you do, but I like the idea of someone who's that avant-garde making a big-budget sci-fi movie, especially in the 70s when, like, they could have gotten real crazy. Like,
right.
that's interesting to me.
Let's see. Oh, the new Coen Brothers movie is coming out, Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, that premiered, and it I think South by Southwest, and it got some pretty negative notices. Obviously, I will see it because it's Coen Brothers, so of course. But
right,
my expectations are tampered. I'm excited about Escape from Tomorrow, that the movie that the guy surreptitiously shot inside Disney World, and it's like this psychological horror thing where he slowly goes mad. It is getting released. Obviously, it's a nightmare because they keep waiting for Disney to try and shut him down. But he gets like weirdly obsessed with these two underage girls while he's in there, and like it's apparently like seriously fucked up and strange, and all shot inside Disney World. So
yeah, I've been hearing very mixed things about it.
I'm so curious. I just gotta see it for myself.
Let's see. There's that documentary coming out, God Loves Rwanda. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my buddy Dylan at Variance Films is releasing it, but I'm dying to see it because it is about the hardcore evangelical churches in the South that have been literally going to Rwanda to sponsor the slaughter of gay people. The legal slaughter of gay people. It's not a happy topic, but one that I think everyone needs to stay educated on. If there's anything good about this, there's Dylan tells me that he's been getting a lot of interests for group tickets from churches. So, like, that, and I think it's really kind of heartening to hear that, you know, so many churches are going, look, this is what happens when you know, evangelizing goes too far and takes a really dark turn.
Mm. Sounds like a fun time. I still haven't.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'll walk out both laughing and horny.
I still haven't. Jesus. Am I going to leave that in? I still haven't seen Blackfish, but I'll check it out on when it inevitably hits Netflix like 2 days after it comes out on DVD.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Actually, I think Child of God is already out on iTunes.
Is it? Yeah.
Oh.
That's tough. Dot004 asks, hey, how is Heroes of Cosplay? Well, you can read my thoughts on AnimeNewsNetwork.com.
I value my happiness and time, so I did not watch it and will never watch it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know me. I love hate watching stuff. Let's see.
The problem with hate watching television is that you're contributing to its continued presence.
Me tweeting or not tweeting about that show has nothing to do with whether or not they would have picked it back up again. I don't credit myself with that. Like that has to hit certain.
So you say, but they do closely monitor Twitter chatter.
Oh, I know, dude. Like if I tweet about sci-fi, like horrible sci-fi reality shows starring nerds. They all vanity search so much that I take, like, a bunch of shit from the people who are on the shows on Twitter for complaining about the show. Like, I think half the cast of Heroes of Cosplay bitched at me on Twitter. And then now, that new one, Fangasm, which is way worse, I had someone from that show come at me for complaining about it. It's fun.
Well, at least we're taking people who are already kind of terrible and turning them even into even bigger shallow narcissists.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? It's reality TV. All right, let's get through these here. Let's see. No on the spots. Our horseman asked, do you think Flowers of Evil has crossover potential to non-anime audiences? If so,
no.
Who would you most like to see it? If it were a movie, sure, but it's a 12-episode TV show, so no.
Yeah, I mean, if you cut it down to a movie, there might be some art house potential, but as it is right now, no way in hell.
I think you could easily turn that 12 episodes into a movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so much excess. It's sodden with long cuts that don't need to be there.
Rhetorical Noise asks, how do you think geek fandom whatever in the West presently compares to being an otaku in Japan in terms of mainstream acceptance? To put it another way, you stated that nerds being discriminated against or othered for their taste in media is an outdated concept. Is that applicable to the situation in Japan? And if not, in your opinion, why are things different there?
Is that an outdated concept?
I think it is. I think that if you think that you're being ostracized because you like Spider-Man and Star Wars and you live in America, you're living in a fantasy world.
Well, those are extremely mainstream items.
Well, that's what's considered to be nerdy. That's considered nerd culture, is Star Wars.
No,
and
well,
Marvel
Comics. I'm sorry. the top grossing movies for like three different summers of the last decade, and the biggest movie franchise in cinema history, one that's credited with changing how editing works.
I agree with you. You and I are in total agreement.
That's not nerd culture. That's mainstream.
That's what my point is.
Right. But there is a nerd culture, and they like things like Flowers of Evil.
Yeah, exactly. But if you look at, there is a mainstream nerd culture that still likes to pretend that it's special snowflake and oh, we're so geeky, and I like Batman. That's what is represented as nerd culture. And they own pop culture. Like, that nerdy shit that was nerdy in the 80s is not nerdy anymore. But they still like to pretend. They still have the pretense of being, you know, I'm an outcast, I'm a geek, people don't understand me because I like Iron Man. That's still there. Like, that attitude still persists, that it's somehow special if you see the top-grossing film of the year. They ignore the fact that this is completely and utterly mainstream. By its definition, it's mainstream.
Well, okay, so what's the question, really?
Basically, like, he's wondering if being a nerd in America is the same as being a nerd in Japan. And as far as I can tell, otaku culture in Japan is completely different from being what you would... Like, if someone came up to you and said, I'm a nerd, you would assume they, what? Watch superhero movies? Probably watch Breaking Bad and, like... own a few t-shirts with, like, Star Wars slogans on them. And that's about it, right?
Well, I mean, it's apples and oranges, because if we're just using the word nerd, the word has lost its meaning in the U.S.
Absolutely, I agree.
Japan otaku, we're not talking about, you know, we're talking about people who probably have plastic figures of girls spread eagle and in their living room. Less mainstream. I'm still ostracized. I would not expect that to be not ostracized anytime soon.
Yeah.
What's the U.S. equivalent for that, though? It's not the same thing.
Hardcore anime fan? that's trying to be the Japanese otaku?
The guy that owns 15 pieces of autographed Tiffany memorabilia?
Yeah, right. Hey, you can see him on Netflix. All right. Yeah, obviously those people still exist, but, you know, my point was largely that if it's a broader point that, you know, I can't really completely get into here because it would just take too long. But basically, there is a mainstream nerd culture, and most people that you will run into who claim to be nerdy, geeky, geeky, nerdy, that's it. They watch Doctor Who, and they've seen all six Star Wars movies like everyone in the country has. And then they call that a personality. They call it something that makes them interesting. That stuff is all really, really, really mainstream. It's just not the same. Whereas in the 80s, if you were really into Star Wars in like 1989, when it wasn't cool to be into Star Wars, yeah, it was pretty nerdy back then. But not anymore. Not at all. So posturing as though you're this outcast geek, it's not a special thing at all. Everyone's into that stuff now. So, you know, and to look at Japanese culture, totally different. Totally different. But, yeah, you're completely right in that we have to change the definition. We have to say, okay, you with your Star Wars t-shirt and your Spider-Man DVD, you are not a nerd. That's not nerdy. That's mainstream stuff. That's like watching football.
Yeah, you don't get to be part of the loser club. Yeah. Loser club is for losers.
Yeah, yes. Losers only.
Yes. Keep the hell out. Yeah. Let me be a loser.
Anyway, I think that wraps it up. So yeah, keep an eye on the site next week. Lots of big, big content coming. And Justin, thanks for stopping by.
Where else am I going?
Okay, that's our show. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check it out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating, a review. We'd really appreciate it. See you all next week.